Hello everyone, this is Professor Reena Pujara. Having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years of teaching. In our early modules, we have understood why industrial relations are so important, not only for fulfillment of economic objectives, but also social objectives. So here we introduce a concept of industrial disputes, which are inevitable. Because a place where, you know, number of people are working with different mindsets, they may have different opinions, and because of this difference in opinions, there are conflicts arising in an industry. And this, if not resolved properly and not handled very sensitively, may take a form of, larger conflicts like strikes and stoppages of work. And we really don't want to do that, or we really don't want to go to that extent. And so we are very much interested in resolving this conflict, resolving this disputes through proper mechanism. And so for this, we do have a proper machinery which is set up by a law to resolve disputes on different stages and different levels. Industrial disputes are broadly categorized into interest disputes and right disputes. So some disputes arise because of conflicting interest between the parties, and generally the two parties who are majorly affected and associated with industrial disputes are employer and employees, or I would say employer and workers. So here the conflict may arise because of their personal interest. Now say for example, for any worker or any businessman, profit maximization, reduction in cost of production will be its priority. Whereas the workers are concerned, when they are providing their services and they are coming to work, their priority or primary objective is to earn money. So there they want a rise or increase in wages, which in turn the employer is not ready to give, because it will increase the cost of production, which will make his product incompetitive in the market. So here there is a conflict of interest. Then we talk about rights. There are some basic fundamental rights that every human being has as per the Constitution of India. And among four fundamental rights which are being given in the Constitution of India, four are such which also relate to, you know, workers working in an industry. So sometimes the disputes are because of the rights of the employees which they are being not given. So the conflict or the disputes take place in any industry or organization. Interest disputes are related to establishment of modification of the existing terms and conditions of employment, wherein wages play a major part of any contract, agreement, or say terms of employment. Number of working hours again is a part of a contract of employment, which constitute the rights and obligations of the contracting parties. So your contracting parties are basically organizations and trade unions, workers and employers. That is the worker and the employer. Most interest disputes relate to determination of revision of existing wages, wage levels, or matters related to them. So here we also understand that majority of the disputes or the conflict which arise is due to the wages and the revision of wages, increase in wages, or any matter related to wages, and I would say any matter which will be in economic interest of both the parties. Interest disputes are usually settled through negotiations, following which it involves threatening of industrial action in the form of strikes and lockouts. So initially, to maintain industrial peace, the suggestion would be two parties settle down their conflicts and disputes by negotiating. Now, negotiation is a process where both the parties discuss on the dispute or the conflict matter, or the topic of conflict, and then they are ready to come on some common point of agreement. Now say for example, the recent strike that has happened, the people went on strike, demanded a minimum of 18,000 of wages for 26 working days. But then the government was not ready to give 18,000 rupees for 26 days, and they had offered say around 350 rupees per day, which actually could not be, you know, opposed by the employee, because that was again a very fair amount which was offered. So somewhere they were able to settle down on the strike, that was a mass strike, and they came and they forego some of their own interest. So agreement, or say point of agreement, is only possible when both the parties are ready to negotiate. And failing to which, if say any of the party is not ready to negotiate because of whatsoever reason, and mainly there are ego issues when we come to negotiations. So if say the worker is not ready to increase any amount of wages, he is not ready to do any negotiations or bargaining with the employees, then the conflict may go to next level. And that may take a form of strikes and lockouts. So strikes are generally done by employee, and lockouts, you know, is the answer given by employer by locking out their industries. Rights disputes, on the other hand, relate to the application or interpretation of existing clauses in an employment contract, the collective bargaining agreement, and so on. So now when we talk about rights, say a fundamental right of getting associated, so that is forming of trade union. Now that is the right of the employees to get associated, to form groups, and you know, to make trade unions. But then if any of the point that is mentioned in the contract which goes against such rights, so conflicts may happen again. Most rights disputes usually relate to termination of a worker's service by the employer. So whenever, you know, in such fights between employee and employer, whenever they fight for their rights, employee is at a loss, because this somewhere threatens its job security, and they may lose their jobs, because employer are in much more powerful position at times if you are not fighting for your rights collectively. Rights disputes are usually settled by labor courts or arbitrators. So somewhere this right disputes are not settled internally. When we discuss about the internal settlement machinery, that is conciliation, through the conciliation process, these rights are generally not settled, and it takes to the next level or stage, and generally it is settled by a third party. It may be an arbitrator or a court. In India, both conciliation and adjudication services are available for both types of disputes. So whether it be a right dispute or whether it be interest dispute, both the disputes can, you know, go through a formal machinery set up for settlement of disputes. Although any negotiable item can lead to a labor dispute, a large portion of such disputes has been directly related to salaries and other form of remuneration. So as we have discussed this earlier also, that major forms of the disputes and conflicts which are arising in an industry are more of economical in nature, because as we know, the primary objective or some motivation for a worker will be always economic benefits. Only when the economic benefits are fulfilled, they will go for achieving their social benefits. Increasingly, the question of termination of employment has been an important factor in dispute settlement. So now the threatening part, while settling down the disputes, is employee may be at a loss if the contract is being terminated by the employer. In India, all disputes relating to employment, terms of employment, and conditions of labor between workers and employers have been conferred with the status of industrial disputes and are legally adjudicable under the Industrial Disputes Act 1947. So all those provisions which are being made to recognize a dispute and, you know, internal settlement of dispute, if internally the dispute is not being settled, then what are the other forms, or what are the other methods or stages you can go to settle these disputes? That is, intervene of third parties, maybe an arbitrator, or even you can approach to a labor court. These are some relevant ILO standards on settlement of industrial disputes. So when we talk about ILO standards, so International Labour Organization sets some standards. Now there's minimum standards that are being set by ILO has to be, you know, implemented by the member states of International Labour Organization Conference. So they pass out some conventions over there, and if we have given a nod on accepting those conventions in our country, so we need to implement that in our country via, you know, making some acts enacted to which will help the convention to be implemented in our own country. So here even ILO has given some basic or minimum standards which are related to settlement of disputes and its machinery. Freedom of association and protection of right to organize convention. Now when we talk about freedom of association, we are here talking about formation of a trade union. So as we have discussed that a single employee or, you know, less number of employees approaching to the organization or management for and fighting for their rights, they may have insecurity in their jobs, termination of contracts. But when it takes a larger form, like formation of a trade union. Now when we talk about trade union, the members of the trade union, the numbers of the members in the trade union are large, and they are in a powerful position to bargain with the employer. So your ILO also have given some standards wherein you have, you means the employee as well as the employer, has the freedom of getting associated with the other members and fight for their rights. The organizations have the right to draw up their own constitution and rules, to elect the representative freely, to organize their administration and activities. The convention also provides for the right to affiliate with international organizations. So here every organization is being given a freedom to, you know, give provisions for internal dispute settlement machinery, wherein they can have this additional setups to resolve the dispute within the industry itself. Relevant ILO standards on settlement: the right to organize collective bargaining convention. Now collective bargaining means the management and the trade union come together, both are showing positive signs that they want to negotiate and they don't want to fight. So here through negotiation or say collective bargaining means group of employers and management, or we can say representative of employees that are union leaders, they can sit together and they could discuss on the sensitive points or sensitive areas of disputes, and they can find out solutions and suggestions wherein these disputes may be settled at a lower stage. 1948 gives to workers and employers organization protection against acts of interference by each other. It also gives to the workers adequate protection against anti-union discrimination of employers. So we have discussed about this anti-union discrimination. That means your contract of employment will not be, you know, enforced by such a condition that if you are getting associated with trade union, your contract may be terminated. So such terms of contracts are not allowed by any employer. This is to discourage the employer to unnecessarily, you know, threaten the employee not to join any trade unions. The tri-party consultation, we always have a tri-party consultation whenever it is concerned with the international labor standards. So when we talk about tri-party, the two major party to industrial relations are always employer and employee, and the third party which designs the labor laws or enact the labor policies are government. So here we have three parties in common consultation while enacting the laws as well as designing or planning the laws, that is government, employer and employee. So the tri-party consultation, International Labour Standards Convention 1976. So again there is a convention made on this in 1976, which requires the member country on the ratification Ratification, as we have discussed, ratification is the acceptance of the convention by a particular country. Now, say this particular convention is passed in a labor organization, by labor organization in a particular year, and then India has ratified to it. Ratified to it means they have given a due acceptance that, okay, we are ready to accept this standard, whatever being given by you in the form of convention, and we are ready to implement this convention in our country. So that is called as a ratifying country. And giving a due acceptance to the convention is called ratification. So if any country or the member state has given a ratification, so they are binded to implement this convention in their country within 1 year of time. So this particular convention will come in force in that particular country within 1 year of time. Ratification shall establish effective means of tri-party consultation on all matters concerning labor issues. The Collective Bargaining Convention 1981 envisages provision of measures aimed at ensuring rules and procedures for the settlement of labor disputes, so that they are contribute to the promotion of collective bargaining. So here when we talk about a convention which was passed in 1981, which focuses more on, you know, laws to be enacted, which provides which makes provisions related to settlement of the disputes. Voluntarily Conciliation and Arbitration Recommendation 1951 contemplates that voluntarily conciliation machinery appropriate to national conditions be made available to assist in the prevention of industrial dispute. So what do you mean by conciliation and voluntary conciliation? So as the conciliation machinery, that means internal setup in an industry, or say for a few number of similar kind of industries, which will try to resolve the dispute at a lower level. And that is called as voluntary. That means there will be a settlement. When we talk about conciliation proceedings, if both the parties, they come together and negotiate and come to a common point of agreement, so that particular conciliation proceedings is successful and they are at a point of settlement. So that particular thing will be called as settlement. But when the disputes are not sorted out or resolved internally with this voluntary conciliation, this takes a larger form and it goes to another stage by intervening the third party, that is arbitration. And whatever the proceedings in the arbitration and the solution given by the arbitrator, so any solution given by the arbitrator is compulsorily to be binded on both the parties, and that is called as award. So when it comes to conciliation, when involuntarily both the parties are agreeing to a point, it is called as settlement. But when it goes to third party, that is arbitrator, or it goes to arbitration process, whatever comes should be compulsorily accepted by both the parties. It is binding on both the parties, and this solution will be called as award passed by the arbitrator. 1951 contemplates that voluntarily conciliation machinery appropriate to national conditions. Now see, whenever the discussions are happening on an international level, so they give us some guidelines, but again the provisions which will be set up will be in terms or in line with the current national situations in our country. It is provided that this service should be made available free of charge and should lead to expedition resolution of industrial disputes. So whenever we talk about taking our disputes to the next level, it should be free of cost, because when it comes to workers association or workers, it would be difficult for them to expedite this or to bear such cost, because they are already earning minimum amount of money, which is only helping them to fulfill their basic needs. So So sometimes if it is not free and if it is chargeable, so what happens, the workers let go and they are, you know, at a loss. But when it comes to employers, they are ready to pay. They are ready to, you know, bear the expenses made. So thinking of both the classes, what suggestions are made over here is that we should make it free and we should make it faster, because until and unless it is not faster, it is just a wastage of time, and somewhere we are creating a more frustrating workforce in our industry. The examination of grievance recommendation 1967. Now here we have a provision of identifying or investigating the recommendation of grievances. That means examination, identification of areas. Deals with grievances of one or several workers against certain measures or situations concerning labor relations or employment conditions. So the grievance may be arised of any or whatsoever reason, that may be monetary or social, that may not be relating to wages, but that may be relating to any of the working conditions. Where the grievance is not resolved within the undertaking, that is within the organization, industry, or through conciliation proceedings, the recommendation states that there should be a possibility of final settlement through agreed procedures. So internally, if it is not solved, we need to have some strict machinery wherein there will be a final settlement, and that will be binding on both the parties. The Termination of Employment Convention 1982 provides for an appeal against a decision to terminate the employment to an impartial body such as court, labor tribunal, and arbitration. Now here we have discussed that some employers may put in a contract such conditions which will not allow the worker to get associated with any of the trade union. So there may be such terms mentioned in the contract wherein due to this association the worker may be terminated from the work. So regarding these type of issues, there should be some tribunals, courts, or arbitrator intervening and securing the jobs of the workers. Now here are some methods of prevention of industrial disputes. Now as we know, industrial disputes are inevitable. There will be industrial disputes existing in any industry. But then always we know that precaution is better than cure. So here we need to identify areas of conflict, and here we try to prevent such industrial disputes rather than getting into resolving them and taking it to several level of stages. So there are some model standing orders which define and regulate terms and conditions of employment and bring about uniformity in them. Now for example, we'll take an example of a company wherein some minimum standards has to be followed, and in those similar type of industry they are binded to be followed. Now if we talk about Factories Act 1948, so in Factories Act 1948 there are several provisions made which are in favor of say health of employees, safety of employees, etc. So if these provisions are being made which are binded on all the industries, or say factories, when we are talking about factories, it is binded to provide a employee with a better working condition. Then there are some provisions which don't allow women and any employee below the age of 18 to work on particular process or machinery. So what we can do is we can make such standing orders, or we can make such provisions which are binding on industries and factories to be followed, so that there are no disputes at all, because automatically the employer is in pressure to provide that minimum standards to their employees. They also specify the duties and responsibilities of both employers and employees, thereby regulating standards of their behavior. So when we are talking about these standards are not only restricted to employer, but here we set some standards for employee as well, so they do not take due advantage of whatever benefits are being offered to them. That means they will also make sure that they don't go on illegal strikes. Whenever there is a strike, that has to be followed through some legal procedures and processes set. Therefore, standing orders can be a good basis for maintaining harmonious relations between employees and employers. So, when you are following the standards and both the parties are following the standards, there will be less chances of frictions happening between them, and which in turn will definitely create a very harmonious work culture. Under Industrial Dispute Act 1947, every factory employing 100 workers or more is required to frame standing orders in consultation with the workers. So, under this act, that is Industrial Dispute Act 1947, for every industry, it is mandatory to form certain standing orders with consultation with their workers. So, when we talk about workers, it is not possible to consult with each and every worker. So, some representatives of worker, and it becomes binding on those industries who are employing more than 100 workers in their industry. These orders must be certified and displayed properly by the employer for the information of the worker. Now here, when we talk about worker or blue collar employees, they might not be, you know, in that position to take information from the management. So here, the suggestion is, whatever standing orders with the consultation of the worker's representative are being made, final list should be displayed and communicated, because only displaying with list will not help. Some of the workers may not be understanding the list displayed, so it's better to communicate them in a form which they understand. So it's not only framing of standing orders, but it should be weighted so that the workers also understand that. The Code of Industrial Discipline defines duties and responsibilities of employers and workers, and the basic objective of this code is to secure settlement of dispute by negotiation. So here we are motivating more on settlement of disputes through negotiation. Conciliation and voluntarily arbitration, to eliminate all forms of coercion. Coercion is means empowering or putting a pressure on the workers by threatening them of some punishment. Intimidation and violence, to maintain discipline in the industry. So when we talk about discipline, both employer and employee follows this discipline codes. To avoid work stoppages, that means to avoid strikes and slowdowns. To promote constructive cooperation between the parties concerned at all levels. So, works committee. What is works committee? Works committee is formed so that discussions and negotiations can be supported, and this has to be made wherein there are more than 100 number of employees or workers working under that industry or organization. Every industrial undertaking employing 100 or more workers is under an obligation. That means it becomes compulsory for an industry to set up a works committee if they are hiring more than 100 number of employees. To set up a works committee consisting equal number of representatives of employer and employee. So in this works committee, we have equal number of workers representative and employers representative. So say if, for example, there are 3 representatives from worker, there will be 3 from the management or the employer. The main purpose of such committee is to promote industrial relations. According to Indian Labour Conference, work committee are concerned with administration of welfare and fine funds, educational and recreational activities, safety and accident prevention, occupational disease and protective equipment. So here they are taking care of different areas wherein disputes can be arised. So here they are not only talking about the economic objective, they are also talking about some social and upliftment of the standard of living of workers to via educational and continuous training, identifying the areas wherein accidents can be prevented, safety can be increased, etc. Condition of work, such as ventilation, lighting, temperature and sanitation, including latrines and urinals. So these all provisions, if you see, are also reflected in the Factories Act 1948, wherein they have given certain criterias for ventilation. There should be no overcrowding, wherein they have mentioned that minimum cubic meters of area is required for say certain number of people working in that particular place. So all the such provisions are being already made in Factories Act 1948. So equally ventilation, lighting, temperature and other working conditions are required to maintain a healthy workforce. Amenities such as drinking water, canteen, dining rooms, medical and health services.